Take it away.
You are listening to Radio Tacoma, and today we have with us Ann Dorn and Sean Arendt from Home in Tacoma for All, which is a very important program. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let them just take it away. So, Ann and Sean, can you tell me how you first got involved in this campaign?
So I'm a member of the Tacoma Pierce County Democratic Socialists of America.
Yay.
So we voted as a priority of our chapter on what we call the Green New Deal for housing, which later became Home in Tacoma for All. So that was a project of our housing and eco-socialist committees. I chair the eco-socialist committee. So we focused on building a platform that covered tenants' rights, making developers pay for new housing, what we call social housing, and then building sustainable green housing.
And Ann, how did you get involved?
I discovered Home in Tacoma for All late last winter, and I had been doing housing justice work for a number of years in the area. I was so excited about the campaign when I found out about it, and just really felt a lot of alignment with kind of some of the work I'd done in the past and my goals going forward. And so I signed up and started working on the campaign, ended up on the steering committee. And then I joined Tacoma DSA as well. And I am just really, really passionate about this work, and I'm excited to see where this goes.
And I got involved with it way back during the recession when people were getting foreclosed on. And Sarah Morgan had a campaign at the time called Stay in Your Home. Mm-hmm. And so I got involved with housing issues at that time. And plus, I had been homeless before. So I know what that feels like. And why did you get involved? Why is it important?
Well, It's interesting you mentioned homelessness. I was evicted in 2018. And it was a no-cause eviction, so, you know, we were current on our rent. It's just that our landlords decided to sell the home that we were renting. And we was, myself and my roommate at the time, who was, like me, a single mom. Mm-hmm. We had a wonderful little household. We were raising a couple of kids together. And it was a great, great environment, and we had built a really happy home life. And then we got this notice, and we had 20 days. And it ripped our household apart. We were not able to find another home that worked for the both of us. And not only that, but my landlord forged part of my move-in checklist and then tried to make me liable for damages to the house that they alleged that we had done over the course of, you know, our 18-month tenancy. And in the end, I was successful in bringing a lawsuit. However, that experience made me realize how vulnerable folks are. I had a lot of trouble fighting that legal battle. I lost this really wonderful home life, and that's what's kind of filled me with like white hot rage and this passion for housing justice, because I've felt the impacts, what that can do to someone's life.
Yeah. Okay. And you, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, I do care a lot about housing justice. I've spent time with homeless folks and gotten to know their stories. But I also come at this from somebody who's grown up around the ecological and climate crisis and looking for ways to address that. So a big problem we have in Tacoma and really around the country is suburbanization.
Oh, hell yeah.
People, you know, the jobs are in the cities, but because of the way that we allow housing to be built, you know, most single family zoning is kind of has been the law of the land. Do you have a question though?
Actually, yeah, I just wanted to make a note that especially on the topic of suburbanization, I mean, not only does that really isolate people from the urban environments where they need to work, but it's also very unsustainable from the ecological perspective as well. You know, this urban crawl that takes over more land area, that uses more resources, that decondenses the city, but still taxes the local environment by quite a bit. So there's a very interesting intersection there.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, You can just go and look on Google Earth, right? You can see, you know, most of the forests in Pierce County are gone. You know, it's just nothing but suburbs from mountain to sound. You know, we've got to create policies to fight that. The other thing is that, and we're fortunate that this, you know, the state beat us to this one, but we're still pumping natural gas in the new buildings, right? Fossil yeah. fuels.
It comes it's got to stop.
It comes from fracking, comes from the tar sands in Alberta, and that, you know, has a localized pollution effect that increases rates of asthma in children, cardiovascular disease in older adults. Overall, pretty terrible. But thankfully, the state has updated their building codes to get natural gas out of new commercial buildings. We're hoping that they expand that to all buildings.
When does it start?
That's a good question. I think probably 23 is what I heard.
But sooner the better.
Sooner the better, absolutely.
Yeah.
That was the core part of our green homes, pillar. But the other part is that you know, the biggest thing that we can do to reduce our drain on the grid is to build smarter. There's a lot of like really good technology. It goes into how you build a home to where you can effectively be carbon neutral. So we want to require new buildings meet what's called a LEED Gold standard. LEED stands for Leaders in Energy Efficiency and Design. We think it can be done. Like, that's not even the highest standard is platinum. So, yeah.
Taking a step back, you said this was a program through the Tacoma DSA, correct?
Home and Tacoma for All is a coalition that was started by Tacoma DSA.
Could you tell us a little bit more about what the Tacoma DSA does in the local community as an organization, just to give a background?
Yeah, we're the largest socialist organization in Tacoma, in the county. We're part of a national organization that, fights to expand workers' rights. We've elected a handful of socialists to offices around the country, like most notably Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yay. And then there was always Bernie.
There was always Bernie, right? Like, I think, you know, DSA struggled with membership until Bernie ran.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of...
Well, I think one of the wonderful things that's happened is socialist used to be a dirty word. Mm-hmm. And it is no longer a dirty word.
Mm-hmm. In large part because of the DSA, especially,
right.
Their influence.
Yeah.
They've normalized the word. And, you know, looking at this from an old person's perspective, it's really wonderful to see how many younger people are jumping on board. And once again, the intersectionality of climate chaos that's looming and...
housing justice.
Well, hang on. And salaries that can't pay for the rising rents.
Mm-hmm.
And increasing instability and lowered expectations for young people. And a rise in anxiety. All of these things are working together to bring young people into activism that may not have been, that wasn't. That for a while was just flagging.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm in awe because young people are on fire. Excuse me, pardon the pun. But they're really, really, really active now.
Yeah.
And I love that you brought in, that you got involved because of the climate issues. Because that's a very potent intersectionality between housing justice people and climate justice people and all of it.
Mm-hmm. All of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you want a healthier environment, the best way to do that is to meet people's basic needs.
Right.
It's always been the case.
Absolutely.
So, what are your goals with the Home in Tacoma for All campaign?
Yeah. So we have a three-part platform.
Mm-hmm.
So I did talk a little bit about the Green Homes for All.
Right.
So we want to increase building standards.
Mm-hmm.
We do want natural gas out of homes. But, yeah, like I said, the state seems to beat us to that one.
Good.
To take, like, into account, like, the local environment when construction happens. So right now, like, if you go to, like, the Tacoma Mall, it's, just concrete and... There's a couple of patches of like not well out thought out landscaping.
Right.
So we want to require that buildings like this They're incorporating like tree cover, especially in like huge parking lots, and native landscaping, because, you know, whenever you build, there's an ecological displacement that happens, which then feeds into this ongoing biodiversity crisis that we're facing, which of course feeds into climate change. So,
yeah.
Okay. And Anne, your goals?
You know, as one of these pillars that Sean just covered, we're also exploring the possibility of bringing a ballot initiative next year. And this would be a initiative to increase renters' protections in the city of Tacoma. There's a lot that's been won in the last few years. There's some amazing fights. Some, you know, incredible folks have led the way. But there's a lot more to win. And people are still experiencing increasing rents that they can't afford. They're still, you know, going through these economic evictions. Essentially, right, when your landlord hikes your rent repeatedly, they're they're kicking you out at some point.
And yes,
not everybody,
they are.
You reach a level where you can't afford that.
Right.
And you have to move. And that, you know, the big question is, where are we moving to? You know, people are reaching a point where a lot of folks can't afford other housing. And we're watching crisis with folks being unhoused and only getting worse. So our goals, you know, include, in addition to the what Sean mentioned, we also want to see this be a livable city for the actual working class folks who reside here. They need to have sustainable, healthy, and affordable housing. And we hope to get at that through a ballot initiative and just to continue this work of taking on landlords and developers where they see vulnerability, where they see opportunity, and they want to squeeze as much money as they can from their tenants. We want to build an organization and a movement that is in position to say no. Like, tenants need rights. They need additional rights. They need protections.
Talk about, I've heard about what they have called housing, social housing czars. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
So, like, the idea of a social developer housing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, essentially, that's a really exciting publicly owned housing project. That may be something Home in Tacoma for All will approach at some point. You know, when we talk about housing projects, they get a little bit of a bad rap. Like, we're all kind of, I think, familiar with developments that are not well maintained, they're not sustainable, they kind of miss the mark when it comes to meeting a lot of basic needs. And there's this association with these developments having, you know, a lot of crime and a lot. Social housing developers are very, very different model, and it's a lot more closely tied into the market in some ways. So essentially, instead of having publicly provided housing that's kind of all the same rate, social housing developer actually mixes income brackets. So if you make more money, you're going to pay a little bit more for your apartment, and if you make less money, you're going to pay less. And what you end up with is a really sustainable model where it's not clear who are the low-income residents and who are the high-income residents. And this is publicly owned, which is really important because the act of public ownership stabilizes the housing market. It reduces pressure on renters by lowering the incentive for landlords to raise rents, right? Like, the more public housing you have, the more stable of a market you have. Did I explain that pretty accurately?
Yeah, Sean? I would just add that there's a campaign in Seattle called House Our Neighbors, and they're also working to create a social housing developer. Now, we haven't decided whether we're going to pursue this as a ballot initiative this year, but you know, it is a core part of our platform.
Right.
It's essential to make housing more affordable, to take it out of the, you know, the for-profit market.
Well, and I understand that there are several possible ways that the salary for a full-time social housing developer could happen. It could happen through taxes on developers. It could happen in a series of ways, but it would be a regular full-time position within the city. Is that correct?
So it would be a department with multiple positions.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you would need that to be able to, you know, buy land, make a plan, fund it, build it. You know, you mentioned bonding in a previous conversation
had. That's one way to do it.
Yeah, so the city can leverage bonds, right? The city has an ability to deficit spend that we should be using a lot more. So an example in our platform under our tenants' rights is what we call a tenant's right of first refusal, which is where if you're apartment building or even if you're renting a home, is going to get sold by your landlord, they have to offer it to the tenant first. That's what we want to make happen.
Oh, that's... Go ahead.
You're fine.
And then the city can kick in bonds to pay for it. And then,
I'm nodding, listener. I'm nodding at Sean.
people... You know, think it's impossible. Really, all renters are paying their landlord's mortgage, right?
Right.
So if we can just even the playing field, we can have renters paying their own mortgage. That's one that I'm particularly excited about.
Okay. Noah, jump right in.
I think something that you hit on especially was the idea that the power of landlords tends to be very arbitrary. It tends to be very absolute. We have to sometimes go into these very long, drawn-out legal battles in order to try and combat that power. I guess kind of expanding on the idea of a more democratic idea of home ownership, what are your visions for the future relating to that? Like, how can we as communities build better solidarity as tenants, as homeowners, in order to combat that absolute power that they have?
Absolutely. I think it's critically important for people to understand the power of collective organizing. I think that's one thing that Home in Tacoma for All really seeks to kind of bring to the city and bring into public consciousness. When we organize together, there is a lot more possibility than people previously thought. So I think first step is to imagining what's possible. And the second step is to getting together and creating community, creating a collective, creating a demand and taking that to your landlord. I think ultimately what is possible is an incredible amount of working class power. That's kind of housed in the area of housing justice and tenant rights. This is a place where we have the chance to push back, where we can fight for additional protections through legislation. We can fight through, direct action. We can directly petition landlords as a group and ask for rent control. That's something that, as you know, is not legal at the state level.
But I think it's coming at the state level.
I hope so.
But the trouble is people are falling between the cracks while the state ponders.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's badly needed, right? And
yeah.
So I envision a world where tenants have direct control over their housing. I think that right now, we're vulnerable. Like my experience getting evicted mm-hmm. and having my life shredded apart, this shouldn't happen mm-hmm. to people. Housing is a human right. I deeply believe that. And I think that we are entitled to safe, affordable, sustainable, healthy housing. And I believe that is possible if we work together collectively.
Absolutely. And sounds like there's quite a bit of overlap, especially in labor organizing too.
Yeah.
This idea of getting working people together to kind of challenge the absolute authority of bosses. It sounds like you're trying to do the same thing, but instead this is like landlords and land developers who aren't taking into consideration the needs of tenants. So I think there's a chance for some really good overlap there. Absolutely.
We do actually have a project as part of Home in Tacoma for All. We have our Labor Partnership for Housing Justice, mm-hmm. which is an effort to bring local unions and their membership kind of into the fight. So far, we have one formal partnership with UFCW 367,
mm-hmm.
and they have 8,000 food and grocery workers in the South Puget Sound area who are now going to be part of our outreach efforts to identify any housing justice fights that those folks have going on.
So that's terrific.
Yes. I love that you said that, because I think getting union involvement is critical. It is a similar fight.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in UFCW 367 said to me, like, hey, we bargain for our members to get wage increases, but then our members turn right around and those wage increases are eaten up
by
the rent hikes. Exactly. Yeah. And so it is very much the same fight, and that's something that Home in Tacoma for All wants to keep on the radar. We want to cultivate those relationships, and we see the unions as being a really important part.
Yeah,
I
know that especially now in many major cities, and especially over the course of, the COVID-19 pandemic at its height in 2020, 2021, a lot of tenant union organizing has definitely taken place as well. Could you speak a little bit to that?
Yeah. Actually, how much should we speak about that?
Well, tenant union organizing has, I think in the last few years, has become more visible. There have been some really amazing fights.
Yeah, they sure have.
And, I've been watching some of these and just kind of, getting excited, because I think that just like the labor movement is seeing, I don't want to say resurgence, but we're seeing some, we're seeing some action. We're seeing, an expansion of, I think, what's possible with the labor movement. I think we're seeing that with housing justice as well. So I'm familiar with a few fights that really inspired me, one of which was a couple years ago in Philadelphia. They had a tenants union there that went to the city and said, hey, please give us like these 60 houses that were slated for demolition, all livable, all, you know, potentially like habitable homes, mm-hmm. and they won. And, you know, it's fights like that that I think are just really exciting and inspiring.
I think something like that happened also in Oakland, mm-hmm. California, where the tenants got together. They weren't completely successful, but they gained a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, even just in that organization alone, there's little victories that occur when that solidarity is built. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As for taking a step back a bit, talking a little bit more about your goals, what have you accomplished so far as part of the Home in Tacoma for All?
I mean, we built a pretty good base. You know, we've been out on the street at events all summer, just talking to folks, building, you know, a list with thousands of names on it, people that are interested in the fight. That was no small feat. You know, we've got this union endorsement again, which is huge. We have had some successful tenant organizing. I think we've been doing pretty well.
Yeah. And I guess what have been some of your challenges or roadblocks along the way in trying to organize people and build that solidarity with tenants?
Well, we call it struggle for a reason. Mm-hmm. you know, it's hard, right? Like, because we're all working folks. We all can't do this full time. I was lucky that I was able to take a few months off work here and there to really dig into it. But, you know, whenever you want to bring people to the table, guess what? You have to invite them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, the easiest way to do that is to send out like an email, but folks don't check their emails, right? Right. So maybe you got to text them, maybe you got to call folks.
Whichever
method they use. Engagement is essential, and it's really hard work, and that's part of what I've been doing for the campaign. So.
And what do you like about this work? Why don't you go first, Anne?
I like that, you know, I think housing is a deep human need. It's the foundation from which we are really free to be human, to be in relationship with each other, to build a better world.
Oh, nicely
said. You gotta have the four walls and a roof, and from that foundation, everything else flows. So I see it as just fundamental. So any challenges we're talking about in the world, any ways that we want to change the world, climate change, you know, wages, like all of these fights, like you gotta have a roof over your head. And that's one of the reasons like I'm so drawn to this particular campaign. And
so its relevance is what you like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about you, Sean? What do you like about this work?
Yeah, I mean,
most or a lot.
Working people can really relate to the platform we've built, and I worked on that platform. I'm really proud of what we put together. And one of the elements that I made sure we got in there is banning rental application fees. You know, when you apply to live in a rental in Tacoma, right? You got to pay somebody money, even though you don't get the place, you know, just to apply. And it's such a competitive rental market. And people are having to, you know, apply upwards of like 10 times.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Paying 20, 30, 40 bucks a piece, right? It's a racket. There's actually been houses or rentals that intentionally just farm these application fees in the area. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, because it's guaranteed money. They don't have to actually house somebody. So just pointing out the ways that this system is broken, you know, showing working people that they can fight this, right? I think the media likes to say that like inflation is just this inevitable rising tide that mm-hmm. happens because of, you know, Joe Biden or Donald Trump, right? But actually inflation is caused by, capitalists, whether they're landlords or, you know, the folks setting prices who are all doing very well. But they're able to raise prices because they own, you know, they own these things.
So, and you're not necessarily talking about somebody who has a little storefront business on a street. That's not necessarily capitalism because they're putting their own labor into it. Yeah. You're talking about capitalism where somebody does nothing. Mm-hmm. And then just reaps profit off of that.
People who own the whole market, essentially.
Right. But you're also reminding me, because I'm ancient, back in the day when employment companies used to be able to charge people for applying for work. And that was made illegal. So if that could be made illegal, these fees for applying for housing should be able to be made illegal too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Took a while. It was a struggle.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your future goals? Any next steps that you're looking forward to from the both of you?
So we are considering running a ballot initiative around tenants' rights. It's going to take a lot of work, a lot of money, and a lot of people involved to get there. But it's what we're working on right now. We think that we can put together a package that would at least bring Tacoma up to par with cities like Seattle in terms of protecting folks from eviction in the ways that we can. I don't know, anything you want to add to that, Ian?
Yeah, I think in addition to the ballot initiative, it's our goal to continue growing the movement. Sean mentioned the signature gathering, the base building that we've been doing. We want to bring as many people as possible into this movement. And whether that is as a supporter, you know, and they're on our email list, that's wonderful. If they show interest and they want to join and be, you know, leaders and activists and organizers, there is a place at the table. And, you know, I think we're going to continue growing this movement through our partnership with unions.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to see that work expand. I want to make unions more, you know, militant in the sense that they're taking on these housing justice fights and they're continuing to identify this as a concern for their members in a way that unions can support their membership. It's a way for us to also organize with labor. So I think that is a huge goal for the coming years to grow our base and fight those fights.
And if people want to get involved, how would they contact you?
Yeah, you can find us on social media, Tacoma for All or Tacoma for All.
Mm-hmm.
That's number four.
Number four, yeah. You can reach out to Home in Tacoma for All.
Home in Tacoma for All.
At Gmail.
Okay, and the other one is just called Home for All.
Yeah, some of our social media is under that.
So that would be like Twitter or Instagram or how about Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook, Home in Tacoma for All. So
okay.
You can reach out through any of those means. And, you know, we have monthly meetings that are open to the public.
And when do you meet?
First Monday of the month.
First Monday of the month at what time?
7 p.m. And we meet at 311 Peel Avenue, which is the office of 350 Tacoma, a local environmental justice group.
Oh, really, 350 Tacoma is wonderful. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell people while they're listening?
You know, I mean, just thank you for the work you do. It's an honor. And I just would tell people, you know, consider joining this fight in whatever way makes sense and is meaningful. Love to increase this movement. It's an important fight.
Yeah. I would implore people to consider that, when cost of living rises, you know, you don't just get out of this by trying to increase your personal wealth. We need to increase our collective wealth. We need to, you know, find common cause with people and tackle these societal issues. You know, we live in a really individualistic society, but it's actually to our detriment. You know,
yes, it is.
We don't have things that other, you know, organized, you know, working class folks around the world do, like universal health care or
social housing. Yeah.
Because people just see, you know, they get very insular and they're like, well, you know, I'll just get a better job and then I'll worry about myself only. But, you know, most of us, we're just going to bounce from dead end jobs to dead end jobs or, you know, bad landlords. we got to dig in and fight at some point.
Right.
Right. There really isn't. Our backs are to the wall, whether we know it or not.
So. Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of something we say often in the IWW, which is that an injury to one is an injury to all. And that when the person who's living to the left of you or to the right of you, or who is working to the left of you or to the right of you on, whether it's that block that you live on or the apartment that you live in or the job that you work at, that the collective suffering of the people around you do affect you. And I think that that's something really important to remember when you're talking about combating this very individualistic mindset of, well, I'll just try and find a better job for a better wage and hopefully has health care and maybe then I'll be okay. Maybe that will be the solution. And it's like, no, you do kind of have to recognize that even if you're doing better, there are still people that are suffering around you, and that every little action you can take, like tenant organizing or, you know, creating a program to have more accessible, more affordable, more environmentally friendly housing, labor organizing, so on and so forth, every single one of those little steps counts. And I think it really helps combat the demoralization of these big fights that we often fight.
Well, and it's certainly true that we all breathe the same air.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it from a green building standpoint, you know, we have this climate disaster looming.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how much you make, unless you're Elon Musk going to the moon or something, we are all breathing the same air.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to say thank you to both Anne and Sean for joining us from Home in Tacoma for All. You can reach out to them through social media, whether it's on Facebook or through the Tacoma DSA as well, right?
Yep.
This has been a production of 101.9 Radio Tacoma, also a production of the WAB Radio Hour, which is a radio show produced here with the Tacoma branch of the Industrial Workers of the World. We just want to thank you so much for joining us in this conversation, and we certainly look forward to having you in the future.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.